done deal for steel.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For most of this year, the world's two largest steel companies have been locked in a battle of corporate titans. The smaller of the firms, Arcelor, kept resisting a takeover from Mittal. Yesterday, Arcelor finally caved when Mittal raised its offer to a whopping $33 billion. The new company will be called ArcelorMittal and will be three times bigger than its nearest rival. The deal leaves a Russian company out in the cold. Severstal gets a $175 million breakup fee for being runner-up in the Arcelor sweepstakes. In China last month, demand for oil shot up 13.5%. That's way higher than expected and the fastest rate since 2004. Victor Shum is an analyst with the U.S. energy consultant Pervin & Gertz.
What this means is that with the continuing demand growth in China, then quite likely oil prices will remain high.
China has even boosted energy prices lately, and you'd think that would put a crimp in demand, but Chinese prices are still below what other countries are paying. You know when you call customer service for some company and they tell you this call is being recorded? Well, how about if the customer also recorded the call and then put it on the internet for everyone to hear how bad the customer service was? That's what this one guy did to AOL. Ethan Lindsay has the story.
Vincent Ferrari wanted to cancel AOL and stop spending $15 a month for an internet account he didn't use. He'd heard the company referred to as AO Hell before, so he decided to tape his phone call to customer service.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may
he
help
sat
you
through 15 minutes of recorded messages to reach a live human being. And even then, it took the 30-year-old blogger 5 minutes of back and forth.
Cancel the account.
If you want me to cancel this account, you're going to let me speak and give this paragraph.
He posted the audio file of the call on his weblog, and the internet took over from there. Nicholas Graham is a spokesman for AOL.
He took his case to the web, and we read all the postings that were made to Vincent's blog. We really wanted to learn from it and do a much better job next time.
The audio got so much attention that the customer service rep was fired, and AOL sent out updated phone instructions to prevent another PR nightmare like this one. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Dog bites man isn't a story. Man bites dog. Now that's a headline. And so is this. The world's second richest man giving his money to the world's richest man. In a letter dated today, Warren Buffett says he'll hand over $1.5 billion a year to the foundation headed by Bill Gates and his wife. Buffett's contribution will effectively double the value of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There is a catch. Buffett wants the money to be distributed in the year it's donated, and Bill and Melinda will have to remain alive and active in the organization. Last week was another loser for Wall Street. The Dow fell 0.2%. The Nasdaq dropped 0.4% on the week. The S&P 500 lost 0.5%. Asian markets bounced back today. Japan's Nikkei had its best close in almost 3 weeks. The dollar's holding near a two-month high against the yen and the euro. This is Marketplace. Wimbledon starts today, and already Adidas is a winner. The company has temporarily won a legal battle over the clothing worn by major tennis stars. Adidas gets to keep its three-stripe design on the outfits. Here's Ashley Milntite.
The final victor will emerge only after the case goes to court in October. Adidas claims its three stripes on shirt sleeves and shorts are a design element, not a logo. Paul Swangard directs the Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon. He says it's no wonder Adidas is putting up a fight.
It comes down to millions and millions of dollars and the exposure that comes from having an athlete perform in that corporate moniker. And, you know, if they can protect their interest, they'll bring the lawyers in because that's what they're good at.
Swangard thinks in the end, Adidas will have to relinquish its stripes on tennis clothing. He says they give the brand clear recognition advantage over its rivals, exactly what the tournaments are trying to prevent. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By The Economist magazine, which not only tells you what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. and by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We're just about halfway through 2006, and a few months ago it looked like it might be a banner year for Wall Street. But things have definitely turned sour for investors and markets all over the world. Newsweek's Alan Sloan says the key word is liquidity.
Liquidity means, at least as I define it, the availability of a lot of money at cheap prices. And if you take Wall Street in the global sense, not only United States stocks, but all the world stock markets. You remember at the beginning of the year, these things were booming and everyone said, except of course for me and you, that you got to get into these foreign markets because that's where the growth is. And since really about the middle of May, people have gotten their heads handed to them. And just like the money going in ran the stocks up artificially, the money coming out runs it down artificially.
So would you call this a correction, that investors were a little too exuberant before and now it's kind of backpedaling?
Scott, as a recovering English major, I don't use the word correction when stocks go down. I call it a decline or a fall, because if stocks go down, it's a correction. That must mean when they went up, it was a mistake.
Well, was it?
No, I if you're investing in stocks, there are two elements. One is, what is the fundamentals of the company or the country you're investing in, which determines in the end the long-term results. The short-term results are these things going to be popular or unpopular among other investors? If they're unpopular among other investors, the price is going to go down regardless of the fundamental value. And what's happened is the United States Federal Reserve Board and the monetary authorities in other countries are raising short-term interest rates, making it more expensive to borrow, freaking out, I think, in many cases without justification, investors. And what you're seeing is a fleeing of money from markets.
Sounds like you're suggesting that investors may be overreacting.
Well, sure, they overreacted up. You remember early in the year, we were having these conversations. Oh, the Dow's at a 6-year high. And now, gee, the Dow is at a low. You know, we were talking about in early June. I mean, you can't really invest this way. You can speculate this way. You can have opinions this way. If I knew where things were going to go in the second half of the year, you can be sure that I'd be in all of these things. I've been uncertain, as we've discussed, for the past year. I haven't really understood what was going on, and I was very heavily in cash, which made me look sort of foolish early this year. I'm looking a little smarter now. The real question is, how will I look on December 31st?
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
An I and a T.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.